Hey, Warners, hope you love this show. Just wanted to remind you that we have a Patreon page. Patreon.com/Warners is where you can go to do that. You can leave us a tip there, and you can also access some really cool exclusive footage just for you. So check that out. And now back to the show. I am not doing the wax myself.
I would do it myself, and it's not like a fun, sexy thing to watch when you're doing it yourself at all.
Well, I'm just trying to visualize how to do that because, you know, when she's like, turn over, I couldn't do the turnover
part. Takes flexibility.
I
don't recommend it. I do not recommend it.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv Company.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and loan officer with U.S. Mortgage, the singing lender. Still don't have a jingle, but that's okay. You'd think in all my free time I would come up with one right now, but I don't have it yet. It'll come.
Well, you know, it's so funny. The more free time we have, the more projects that happen, the busier we are, the less time I have. Does this make sense?
It does. No. Well, I was speaking to somebody, and at the time of this episode, if you're listening later, we're in the midst of the coronavirus quarantine, and a friend of mine said yesterday she was busy reorganizing her closet, and I'm like, that's awesome. I mean, I'm lucky enough to still be working right now, and I'm like, I don't know if I have time for that, but it sounds good.
There's so much I want to reorganize, but then I find it to be an excuse to procrastinate on other things, like getting some stuff online.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose. And there's being at home, there's so many distractions that can take you off your your hoped for trajectory of getting stuff done. And
yeah, you know how I started my morning this morning? Making a pot roast.
Nice. But that's important. You got to eat well.
Exactly. It's just going to be just in time for dinner today.
Yep. And a lot of you guys out there who are listening are probably struggling with how to work out at home since we are a lot of us stuck at home. And we've got a really great guest today, Meredith Campbell. She is super adorable when you go check her out on Instagram, which seems to be one of her main platforms. She's the founder and owner of Life and Fitness, the Life and Fitness brand, Meredith Campbell Fitness, and the creator of My Online Fit Club, which might be helpful for you guys right now. I know you can go to her Instagram page and get join that My Online Fit Club. Since 2006, she's been into fitness and helping people better their lives. And she's married, mother of two little boys, and she's been in the fitness industry about 15 years. And she's worked with all kinds of ages and demographics of fitness and dance and fitness workshops. And she also teaches small business owners how to take their fitness studio online, which is very, very timely right now where everybody's scrambling trying to get online.
Yeah, and I think she just pivoted to that because of everything that's going on.
Maybe so. I think
that's what it sounds like. That's what she's working on.
Well, she said she put her business online 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So she's been doing that, but she's probably ramping it up right about now. And I think anybody that's had any online presence is ramping it up right now, as we discuss on this episode.
Yeah, what I love about this episode is that it's timely in a variety of ways. A, because we're all stuck at home right now, and so how can we stay fit while we're eating a lot because the refrigerator is so close, and also about the business side of what she's doing and taking business online and helping business owners take their businesses online, which is what so many businesses have to do to survive right now. And she's adorable. I hope I didn't hit on her too hard, but she's so cute.
She really
I couldn't
is.
Help it.
She is. Well, let's check out this episode with Meredith Campbell. Boom, boom, boom. Maris in the room, room, room.
Oh my God.
Meredith, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About. We are so thrilled that you joined us today. But hey, you know, what else is there to do on, during coronavirus quarantine aside from work out and chase kids?
I love it. This is great. And I saw the name of your podcast and website. I'm like, yes, this is me.
Can I just say you're adorable?
Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
You're so cute.
She really is. Meredith, you might not remember meeting me because you train so many people, or you have in the past and you probably still do. But I was in one of your trainings for PIO, like 2014, probably. And I believe it was Raleigh. It was Raleigh or Charlotte. And I've never forgotten you because you were just so positive. It was a grueling day of training. Like, Gina, we did this workout like 400 times to get the moves down. And it was literally like working out for like 8 hours. But Meredith had that same little smile on her face the entire time and was so upbeat, and it was so much fun. And I just left there super jacked up. So I've never forgotten you. And I just love following you on social, and I'm thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you. That makes me feel so good, because that definitely sounds like something I would do, a full day PIO training with a ton of people. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, as much as my life has shifted, I remember those days and they were so much fun.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was like a fucked up sort of fun where you're like, yes, I got to do the PIO workout like 20 times. I couldn't walk the next day. So much fun. Like, there's a special weird fitness person that loves that stuff.
Yes.
I feel like doing it right now.
Oh my God. It's the best workout too.
Let's go.
So Meredith, you mentioned that you love the name of our podcast and website. So would you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about, and why?
Oh, yes. I mean, I saw the name of your podcast and I was like, this is so me. This is so me. Number one, I'm a woman that supports women. So I did not take your podcast as something like a negative. I took it as such a positive thing, because women are a force of nature. And we are powerful. We are confident. I'm very stubborn. But those, I think those three things make me definitely somebody that, you know, your mom would warn you about. I mean, I think that, gosh, there's so many things that we can do in our power, yet there's so much between women, and I guess in men too, but I see it more in women, the competition force. So you can either look at somebody and say, wow, they're awesome and powerful, and like, let's learn from them. Let's grow with them, or take them as like, she's competition. And that's where I think the negative part, you know, we need to do a better job at supporting one another. We need to do a better job at guiding the younger generation to come up to like support each other. And even if your friend, your sister, your girlfriend is doing something along the lines of you that seems to be competitive to you, cheer her on, because that's only going to bring so much more success and to you. And you never know when that collaboration is going to come, or you never know when you can work together. So I loved it. I was like, yes, like I'm loud and proud. And I think that is something to be proud about, and rock on, sisters, you know, like, let's do this.
So true. We just, awesome. It feels like a repeat of somebody that we just interviewed recently, of like discussing women that either cheer on other women or don't, or the other one, the third that Gina mentioned, which is the whiners who are like, why don't I?
What about me? Yeah. Why is she so successful? Yeah.
And every woman that is successful always worked their ass off for it. Like, and man, any men too. Like, it's just, that's the misconception sometimes the whiners have, is like, they should have it too, but anybody can have success if they're willing to bust ass.
Well, you know, it's interesting, if you don't mind me going to like the obvious, when people see, I mean, you really are. If I were into girls, I would totally hit on you.
same girl.
you know, I think attractive women to struggle a little bit more too with the jealousy and with other women not wanting to help you. And I think about Paige Spiernak, Rachel, right? Because Paige is like a gorgeous female golf pro who wears what she wants to wear, and she's sexy and provocative, and she's judged on it. Have you experienced that as a woman, just based on how you look, frankly?
Yeah. I mean, I can get emotional about it right now. Yeah, heck yeah. And since I was a little girl, I was the first one to hit puberty out of all of my friends. I was the first one with boobs, and they never grew since fifth grade. So like, they're still the same size that they were in fifth grade, but I was the first one with them. And that, I mean, girls always judged me and always looked at me as, you know, as this is a crazy off topic story, but I have to share this with you. When I was going through grade school, we didn't have, you know, this social media. So I don't know what it's like to be a teenager or in, you know, in this time, but we did have something really weird that was just like social media. This girl sent around a notebook that was called the Facebook. Crazy.
It was like a slam book, right? Yes.
And every single page had a person's name on it. And they sent it around. And my page was slut, bitch, skank, whore. And then you could see like hot, pretty, you know, like all this other stuff. And I ripped that page out. And I remember going home to my mom and just bawling my freaking eyes out because, you know, I didn't know what to do. Like, girls hated me. And it's not like I didn't try to be friends with people. I did, but it was like, people just wanted to beat me up. Like, I could never be, everyone's like, you must've been a cheerleader. I'm like, no, the cheerleaders wanted to kick my ass. And they like fought, they wanted to fight me when I was a teenager. And that because of whatever, you know, just because of this is how I look. And, or what, you know, what, so it was hard. It was really hard younger. So yeah, I've been judged a lot and, sucks.
Yeah. It's so interesting that, yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that there's a lot of women that go through that. It's like, what the hell are we supposed to do? Are you supposed to make yourself look pretty because it makes you feel good? Or are you suddenly going to get attacked for it? Like I think definitely today's day and age, there's my child's 11 right now. She is starting to, like, I didn't even know what to do with it the first time she came to me upset about something that happened on TikTok. And these weren't even friends. It was like somebody that told her TikTok sucked. And she's like tears about it. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
We're in a virtual world right now. And I think we're doing better at being open about mental awareness. We're not doing a good enough job yet, but we're being more open about it. And I think that's important because, you know, somebody came to me, I started just being myself a couple of years ago when we got on Instagram stories. I was like, you know what? I'm so tired of being like a buttoned up fitness professional and then having this closet life where like I do drink wine and I do have fun and I do, and like I couldn't interchange the worlds. So I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens. And I put all my guards down and I just started doing things. And occasionally my sailor girl mouth would come out and I would say an inappropriate word.
Such as.
Say it. I would say shit, fuck, this, you know.
just needed you to get it out of your system because
okay.
We like to say fuck.
You don't have to whisper it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you. There are no children present in my house. However, they have heard those words before. They know they're not supposed to say them, but occasionally mommy does. Yeah. I think that when we're our true authentic self, that we can connect with so many other people and the right people, and not everyone's for us. So I just started going on Instagram stories and just being me with no makeup on in the morning, saying my stuff, doing whatever I did. And then, then I had this whole like professional side. I'm like, how do these intertwine? But you know what? When I started just doing that, the right people started coming into my little area and into my tribe. And I've gotten hired at places for dressing. Like literally I did drag queen makeup. This is how I got hired at this studio. I swear to God. I was doing like drag queen makeup and I sprayed my face with a can of hairspray. I'm like, and that's how you do it. And, because that's how drag queens like set their makeup afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no setting spray in my bathroom, by the way. There's only hairspray. Yeah. So, it's only for those with thick skin, obviously. But then this girl was that runs the studio was like, please come here and teach. And I feel like the black sheep when I'm there, because I'm the only person that's not yoga. And I teach at a yoga studio. I need yoga more than anything. So it's like the perfect marriage for me. But I don't teach yoga, but I'm allowed to teach me when I go in there. So I teach in a yoga studio. I teach this like sculpt class, which is basically like, just let her do what she does. You know, like it's okay. It's only, they put me on Friday nights too, which is like the perfect time.
I love it.
It's the party happy hour.
There you
crew.
Go.
So, yeah. And, but like, that's how I got a job there. It wasn't because I applied. It wasn't because she was like, you come teach here. Like we need that energy. I'm like that's who I want to attract. Like people that want to be around this. And, you know, it's not for everyone. And I think that us as women, like we have to realize that we're not for everyone, but the more that we put ourselves out there, the more that we're going to realize that. And that sucks. That hurts because you're going to get just like your daughter hearing from other people saying that her TikTok isn't good. And when you're younger, you're not going to take that information as well when you're,
oh, hell, I don't take it well when I'm older.
I know still is a hard pill to swallow. You know, I sent my video into somebody the other day. They're like, okay, so here's our feedback. And I'm like, what do you know? You weren't trained. You didn't do that video. And then I had to like step back and be like, that's good. Thank you. That's very good. I will consider that the next time I film. You know, you really have to have thick skin and just take it in. So,
well, you really hit it on the head on the how you describe yourself is really how you've described Rachel and I and the whole point of this show. And that's why we created this show was those exact things that we said one day, like we want to be real and raw and have people see us the way we are. And that starts to attract people. I had someone message me the other day on YouTube and on Facebook. And she said, why aren't you selling anything on YouTube? I've been to your YouTube page and you're not selling anything and you should sell something. I've been following you for years and you're funny. And I want some, I'm like, what do you want to buy? Like, and she's like, and sometimes I don't agree with you because sometimes you say some things that are negative, but I still really like you.
You be you,
you know?
Yes. Oh God. I know. And that's the thing, you know, when we start, you're going to upset some people. I mean, I know I upset like family members and, like my own mother, she's going to listen to this and be like, you freaking little, and my mom knows this, we haven't really talked about it yet, but like my mom got so upset with me for being like so open. And my stepmother got upset with me for being so open. And my sister got upset with me for being so open on social media and sharing stuff. And so I had to like really take their privacy into consideration, which I didn't agree with. Because their privacy, like I wasn't sharing anything about them. I was sharing about me, but it made them uncomfortable.
Because people are going to talk.
Mm-hmm, people are going to talk.
About them.
And people, yes. And people are going to talk about them. And, you know, that really hurt me a lot to see those three women who are the three women that should be supporting me the most come down at me for being myself on social media. And that's when I had to take a step back and go like, okay, so what did I do wrong? Where did I upset them? Like I was sharing personal information about me and they didn't like that. So I, you know, then I had to go like, okay, so where is the conflict? Well, the conflict is that I don't share every little detail with my mother.
Oh.
We have a great relationship. And so she wants me to call her every day and be like, oh my God, I got my period. Oh, I had a fight with my husband last night. Oh, this happened. And I just don't want to do that because it becomes like another, like I want to tell my mom like happy, positive things because I want her to be proud of me. So that's where I had to kind of draw the line and figure out like what can I tell her that she feels connected to me, where she doesn't have to go to my social media to learn about me. So that was kind of, it was really interesting. An interesting concept. And it's not just a concept. It was obviously like how to deal with your family and social media when you're coming out.
Oh Lord, that could be a whole episode in itself. But I will say that one of the reasons, I mean, I adore you from actually knowing you in person, but one of the things that I really love about your social media is that you don't come across as this perfect little fitness package. You come across as a real person. And Gina and I, when we first met and were interacting, Gina was my business coach for a time when I was focusing on fitness. And I remember this weekend that we did with Gina, where there was a bunch of like normal people in the room, let's call them. And I was like super friggin' fit at the time and gung ho about fitness.
And you scared people.
That's right.
People were scared of you.
They were freaking terrified of me, and they did not want to work with me because they felt like what I was presenting was unattainable. Now, anybody that worked with me, probably you've experienced it too, Meredith, they knew that I was not like that. It was just the way that I was marketing myself was like, dun, 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 super girl. And it was like not attractive to most normal humans. And so it was a big aha. And so I think that the majority of humans out there, because most people are just don't look like we can look when we're at our peak moment of fitness. Most of them are moms. We've got like this and that went somewhere different when we had a baby. And that's how it is. That's real life. And when we see somebody who's not perfect, we're like, oh, you're like me because I'm not perfect either. Ah, you know. So I love what you do on social media. I think it's very spot on and
thank you.
Relatable.
Thank you. I like, man, it was a hard pill to swallow because there's so much of that on fitness. Like that's one thing that I love and I hate about, I mean, I don't know if I love it. I love that fitness, like when you're in the fitness industry, it forces you to focus on you, which I think is the most important thing. If like focus more on yourself than your day job. And what I mean by that is by focusing on, you know, your mindset and like how you fuel yourself and what you consume, not just physically, but like emotionally and all of those things, like all of the aspects of wellness together, but then also lets you put your guard down. However, there's that aspect of the fitness industry, like if you don't look like X, Y, and Z, then there's something wrong there. And that part I can't stand. You know, that part really, like every time I do a transformation picture of myself, I'm like, why does this matter? Why does this like fact that I've lost 5 pounds in like 3 weeks matter to these people? Like, who cares? You know, like, why do I have to, like, unless I'm okay right here, none of this matters. That number on the scale will never matter unless you're okay up here. And so I've really tried to, that's where I kind of think I upset my family because they're like, why are you talking about your therapy and all of that? And I'm like, because people need to know. They need to know that number on the scale, those 60 pounds that I lost after a baby, that shit does not matter. They will come back on unless I'm fine, okay, here. It does not matter what size I am. It does not matter what that scale says. What matters here is the most important muscle in your entire body, and that's your brain. That's like for sure the most important thing to me. And so that's where I like shifted in the past couple of years is like talking a little bit about that. And they're like, you don't have anxiety. I'm like, I do.
100%.
You see a therapist? Like, yes, yeah. Often.
Well, do you think that you've been in the fitness business for 15 years at least, right? Uh-huh. Do you think that,
yes.
Do you think that that has shifted in the time you've been in fitness? Like that there's a little bit more a shift in wellness overall rather than just getting skinny because I get it. Like there's that whole thing of when you get into getting super fit and super skinny, then it's even if it's not an eating disorder, it becomes like, I'm still not good enough. I'm still not good enough. It can be positive. Like it's taken me 44 years to get to a point of like, okay, it's okay if I'm not in my best shape. I want to feel good after this workout, you know, rather than I have to get thinner. I can't believe I just ate that, you know, but do you think it's gotten better?
100%. I mean, more than ever, fitness professionals are seeing that their message matters. I've seen way more plus size fitness models, plus size fitness people, fitness with disabilities, fitness with, you know, fitness at any age, fitness over 40, fitness, like you name it, like that girl is there, or that guy, whatever, whoever, she is there, and she's searching for her people. And she knows that like moving your body, doing these like whatever X, Y, and Z is not going to make you fit into that skinny little whatever, but it is going to make you feel a lot better. And it, cause movement is medicine at the end of the mm-hmm. day. I don't care if it's dance. I don't care if it's a walk. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's your favorite group exercise or punching a bag or playing sports, whatever it is. Movement is medicine. Like it does something to our brains to help us be more creative, productive, all of that. So I think there is, that has definitely shifted in the industry over the last 15 years. You can see it more loud and clear, and you don't have to be so buttoned up anymore. You know, I've seen more fitness professionals say like, yeah, this is me after I did one of those crazy bikini shows. But this is me normal life, and this is okay. My heart is breaking right now for the fitness industry, just seeing, I think it's a huge wake up call for a lot of them.
Well, let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah,
Now at the recording of this episode, we're in the middle or the beginning, I don't know, of this coronavirus epidemic. Depends on who you talk to. We don't know. So because of all these changes in social distancing, what are you seeing, and what do you think, what advice can you give to our listeners about working out at home?
Okay, so first, working out at home, if it's something you've never done before, and if you've never worked out before at home, one, it's great because you're in the privacy of your own home. On the flip side is this sucks because you're in the privacy of your own home because there's no motivation. Everyone's like, I need to be around people. I need to do this. Now more than ever, right now where we are, there are communities being created. There are already communities online, people that have been doing this for years, people that have doing online fitness for years. But now more than ever, all those instructors are like, you can't work out at home. You need to be in a class. You need to be with the trainer. You need to be with this. Like those communities are being created faster than ever. And so if you were not online as a fitness professional before, and now you're like, oh, holy crap, this is what I need to do. That girl in India, she's watching you. That girl, and I have a follower in Egypt that messages me every day and like, holy crap, in Egypt. Like I live in South Florida in the United States of America. Like it's no longer about it, and it never was about your backyard, but now we are reaching way more people in the entire like the entire planet. You never know who you're going to come across. So let me get back to your question. Sorry, I can go off on a tangent because I'm so passionate about this topic. If you're working out at home and this is your first time doing it, you have to, number one, get yourself a schedule. I'm sure a lot of you working from home, you've got to have a schedule right now. Number two, realize that it's not going to be perfect. Out of 10 workouts, you'll probably have like 3 really good ones, 2 so-so-so ones, and like 1 that like really just sucks. And you're like, that was just pointless. You know, there were children at my feet, or the post office, or the guy was knocking at the door, something happened and I didn't even get a sweat on, or I don't even feel good, or I hurt my knee, or whatever happened. Like there's always going to be that awful workout. If you're starting a new habit, you have to connect it to something that is already consistent, so it feels normal. So like brushing your teeth, like we get up in the morning and we get ready. You don't even realize it, but you brush your teeth either before or after, or sometimes both, like wherever you brush your teeth in the morning, like that's a habit that is drilled into your brain. So if you're looking to work out at home, you have to create that schedule where you're connecting it. So you're either I always recommend that people work out first thing in the morning before anybody else in the house is awake. And that is really hard for young mothers because I say young mothers, I mean mothers with young babies or children at home, it doesn't matter how old you are. You have to get up before the kids get up. And if you don't know what time they're getting up, then because I know what it was like. I would think my baby was going to sleep till 7 and he really got up at 5:30. So you just have to like decide on a time and stick with it and be patient, like patient AF, because you don't know, you're just gonna, that's just going to be it. And there's going to be some times where that workout's only going to be 15 minutes and that's okay. Just be okay. Just be okay. It's okay if it's not okay, but it's, you know, just be patient.
That's amazing. I love that. That's great advice because people don't always know how to create that habit. So it's such good advice that you just gave, that you tie your new habit to one that already is such a routine that you wouldn't not do it. And that's how, and most people don't like the morning. And I know from when I used to teach fitness, I'd tell people to get up in the morning. They don't like the morning. Hey, guess what? I don't like to get up in the morning either, but it's my habit. And yeah. I did the same when my child was born. I decided I would get up before her. And at first it was, I could get up at 6 and then she was up at 6 and I'm like, shit. So then I started getting up at 5, you know, and ever since then I love 5 a.m. Like I don't love it when I'm still in the bed, but once I'm out of bed, I'm good. And that's why I always put my phone in the bathroom so that when the alarm rings, I have to get up.
That's a good tip. You have to get up. I keep mine in the bathroom too. Like you have to wake up. And it doesn't have to be in the morning. Like I talk to clients that are like, I don't want to work out in the morning. I feel better in the afternoon. Well, then make your lunch, now that we're all working from home right now during this time, make it during lunchtime. Like my favorite time is not to work out in the morning. It really isn't, but I feel better when I'm done. And I feel better just checking that off the list, because otherwise morning leaks into night. And then it gets off my list. And I think the other misconception of working out is people think they have to be like this drenched, completely like that yoga high workout afterwards. And you're gonna get that feeling. But if you don't get that feeling every single time, did the workout now not count? Like, no, it's still, you still moved your body.
Well, you hit it on the head when you said movement is medicine. Right. Now I've gotten totally thrown off with COVID because I had such a good habit of meeting a friend every morning at the gym at 6:30. That's not happening now. And now I'm trying to like recreate a whole new schedule and routine, which I've not been successful at yet. But I'm excited when I get in a 20-minute walk. I'm like, I walked today. Success.
So yeah, success, like reward yourself. Like think about, you know, when you first started doing something, like when we first started walking as, you know, babies, you know, your parents would like pick you up and like shake you, like you just took your first step. Like do that reward system for yourself. Like even if you need to take it back to, you know, the star system on your refrigerator where you like have a calendar and you give yourself a sticker on every single day that you do 20 minutes of an activity, even if you're dancing around in your robe for 20 freaking minutes, cleaning up your kitchen, listening to Madonna or whatever that is, you moved for 20 minutes and that you get a gold star.
I am getting
a
gold star calendar.
Do it.
Yes.
Hey guys, just a real quick reminder, if you'd like to find social media links to me, Rachel, Gina, and our favorite Warner Keith, go visit womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com, where you can also find some cool free downloads. Now back to the show.
Well, the thing that people don't always realize with getting fit is it's that workout that you mentioned, Meredith, that sucked. That one is actually the most important one because you still did it. And the sucky workout, and that's not my thing. I heard that from some other fitness professional along the way, that real crappy workout that you still did is the most important one because you kept going. And the consistency factor is the most important thing. And for our mindsets right now, being trapped inside and being the frustration of not knowing what exactly is going to happen, that stuff is really tempered by the consistency of the movement of medicine, you know, the medicine of movement, like you just mentioned. So important.
I'm curious because things are different right now. Are you, let's put it this way, what different types of things are you doing from a marketing and sales perspective in your business because things have changed?
Well, marketing and sales, I just had I've worked with so many fitness professionals. I've trained a lot of fitness instructors and helped a lot of business people go online. But now more than ever, I feel this like dying urge to like just reach out to studios and other fitness instructors that are not online and just be like, let me help you so you don't get in trouble. And so I created like a little PDF of my 5 tips and just started like, hey, what do you think of this? Like, these are 5 things you can do to get started right now. And because a lot of like what happened, I don't know if you guys saw this in, but my feed, my Instagram feed, all of a sudden people that never went live and never went on Instagram and never really posted and never did videos, all of a sudden you turn on Instagram and your phone would just be like, whoa! Like everybody's going live. Everybody's doing something. Everyone like teaching like 7 classes a day because that's what they did in the gym. So now they're like, I'm going to go live on Instagram 7 times a day. We don't own the platform. Like, we don't own social media. Mark does, or whoever does right now. I don't know. whoever. We don't own it. It's a free platform for us. So while our heart is there to build free, we're also, and I say we, because, I put my business completely online, 6 years ago, where I do teach a class, but I teach 1 class like at that yoga studio that I told you about, just because they're like, we just like you, come over here and teach. And it's just a fun place to be. But that's not my main source of income. I think now more than ever, fitness instructors are like, crap, you know, my message does matter and I can get it out there. So one thing that we're doing, I created this PDF and it just gives them like steps on what to do. But one of the things that I think a lot of fitness, like we're getting shut off online quickly, like people are using music and not realizing that you can't be using music on a live platform and saving it to your phone. Yeah. Like that's a big freaking no-no. If that was allowed, I'd be doing that every freaking weekend, you know, getting people fit and healthy, but like, I've never done it, but it's almost like monkey see, monkey do. When you start to see everyone doing it, you feel like you need to do it. So I'm literally like, get off the platform. Like you can teach on the platform, but there's a huge liability connected to it. Get off the platform, get into a private group, get into Zoom, do something else, create an academy, like something else right now. Like now is the time to create. Now is the time to serve. And, I think we can do a little bit of both, but it makes me so nervous to see this many people use their own personal accounts and using their music and teaching online. Like they should not be teaching on Instagram Live full classes. They should be doing snippets and build an audience and get off the platform.
Brilliant. Good advice.
So that's one thing, you know, that I've been telling fitness professionals.
Well, it's interesting. So that's the fitness world, but I have noticed coming from the entertainment world and improv comedy, and then I help another entertainer with his show. I started doing some Facebook live streams and literally got shut down because there was music in it. I was like, oops, we can't do that.
No, there's huge laws. And so you have to be using royalty free music, which that can be changed like at any time. So if it was royalty free, like 5 years ago, it may not be royalty free anymore. Music is so finicky with their laws.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. You can be shut off. So I've been trying to think of creative ways, and I've always kind of done this direction, but creative ways that I can go live to build an audience that attracts people to me that may not necessarily be fitness, because much like we talked about, before, you know, like not everyone's going to be attracted to the like workout look like the, you know, but they are, it needs to be relatable. And so, like one of the things that I've done is like Coffee with the Campbells, where my husband and I are going to go live on our Instagram and just have coffee with our friends that have a coffee brand and just doing different collaborations that have nothing to do with fitness.
And
I think that goes for any industry right now. Collab different things that are part of you. Like you might like, if you're in comedy, like you might like a particular local restaurant or something. You know, this is like one of the things that we did where we made pizzas the other night with we bought the ingredients from the local pizza place and we made pizzas with our kids and it was so fun. And I sent them a video, but like, what a great local collaboration how funny would it be like watching you cook in your kitchen and have this like trained chef, like try to show you how to do it the right way. And you're like, it's like the same thing. If you had your hairdresser, like that's the other thing I'm going to get my hairdresser. I don't know if she'll do it for me, but like how to fix my roots. I don't have any roots, but how to fix your roots at home, but like not do it with any crazy color, but you know, do something where she can teach you, because my hair girl will flip out when I have her on.
No, this is so timely. I literally just messaged and Rachel and I share a hairdresser. I literally just messaged her because she got shut down 2 days ago by the state. Like, you know, they're no longer essential. Says who?
Yeah.
Because it's essential to me. But anyway, so I messaged her and I was like, so can I come to your house? She's like, no, my neighbors are nosy and it's illegal. And I'm like, and I knew this would agitate her. I go, so what box should I buy? And she's like, I will not condone that. I'm like, but I was me telling her like, do a video for the rest of us. Like, do something to help us.
She could come to your house.
I know. Well, that's my next. She's been messaging me this while we've been on this recording. And I'm like, come over. And I used to be her business coach before she got big and got her own place. She used to do house calls. So,
yeah. Well, maybe she's going to do a couple more. We didn't say that here. You know?
We didn't say that. But to your point, she could be doing videos on what to do right now. And this is another topic, but all the wax places are closed. And that's a whole nother conversation that I'm...
That is a problem in this house right now because...
I am not doing the wax myself.
I'm not doing that. I am not doing that.
Can you come and do it, Rachel?
I've done it to myself, and my esthetician just thinks I'm the wackiest crazy. When I was short on funds before I found my current place that's reasonable, because I used to pay like $80 to get a bikini wax, and now I've had a place that's more reasonable, and I would do it myself, and it's not like a fun, sexy thing to watch when you're doing it yourself at all.
Well, I'm just trying to visualize how to do that because, you know, she's like, turn over. Like, I couldn't do the turnover
part. Flexibility.
No, I can't.
I don't recommend it. I recommend it.
I'm not. I'm just, you know what? I live with all boys right now, little boys. I live in a tiny fraternity house, and our pool is open. We're in South Florida, and we're just going to have to learn. You know, like, this is just what it is. Fortunately, there's been no questions, you know. You get questions on what's that on mommy's stomach, and I'm like, that's mommy's favorite boo-boo. That's my C-section scar. You know, that's...
Anyway, we digress
for sure. Well, I definitely want to get in our signature questions before we wrap up and find out all your important info. So how do you define the word sexy, Meredith?
Confidence. I think sexy is how you carry yourself. It's how you look at yourself. If you feel your best in your PJs and robe and like, you know, having a cup of coffee, then that is sexy. If you feel your best, like curling your lashes whatever you do that you feel your confident best self, I feel like that is sexy.
Amen.
And your lashes are on fleek, by the way.
What's the best advice that you've ever received?
The best advice that I've ever received is, it's okay not to feel okay, but it's not okay not to do anything about it. So that has been, you know, one of my mantras during this time, you know, with dealing with the anxiety and stress. Like, it's okay that I'm stressed out right now. It's okay that, you know, I had a little breakdown and cried yesterday, and I've been so strong this whole time, and I'm like, I'm not going to cry. And it's okay. Like, I'm teaching my children are 7 and 4, so they're going through feelings. And I think, you know, my 7-year-old gets frustrated. I'm like, okay, what are you feeling right now? And he's like, I'm angry. And he's crying. And so, you know, if he can recognize those feelings, like, I can do that. Like, it's okay. But it's not okay not to do anything about it. So I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm stressed, I'm fearing what's going to happen, but it's okay. Let's feel those. But what can I do to do something about it right now? You know, like yesterday wasn't the most productive day. What can I do? Okay. So we have to go back to what I know, like write down my list. Let's really work on time blocking. Let's work on patience. Let's, you know, get the essential oils out and start smelling those every hour. Put that on the, you know, time block, like put a schedule on my phone, like just be proactive about doing something. And productivity will come. Ideas will come. Creativity will come back. Energy will flow. So, but you have to take action, but it's okay not to feel okay. So that's one of the things that I've been working through during this whole crisis.
So important. And I think there's plenty of people out there that present themselves that they never have the crying in the shower thing and or whatever, the breakdown. Gene and I, we drilled down to that the other day, that we are the podcast, we are the people. And I know that you are, Meredith, for the successful women who are all about being positive, who are driven towards our goals, and we sometimes feel completely unsure about ourselves and cry in the shower. Because I think that presentation of people that are like super put together, I mean, everybody has that moment. And especially now people have that moment of like, what the fuck am I going to do? You know, just.
Hey, I've taken my crying from the shower to the kitchen floor. I mean, I've elevated it. This happened to me a couple days ago where like literally a friend was over with her 10-year-old son. And I'm like, I think you guys need to leave because I was going into a meltdown and I didn't want to do it in front of her son. And I was like, her child doesn't need to see him. I'm about to lose my shit. And then I just literally, they left and I just laid on the floor and cried.
But I think that's okay. Like we're supposed to feel those emotions. We're humans.
Exactly.
You know? It's okay. It's okay. And like, not to say get it out because, you know, but go through it, like feel it. But then do something about it.
And then the next day I kicked ass. And then Rachel called me the next, she's like, how are you okay today? It's the day before I'm like, I can't talk to you.
Well, it's important to feel it and allow it and not stuff it down, because that stuff that the emotions that we stuff down, they present a problem later. So that's a great one.
They will come back.
Yeah. So last question, what advice do you wish you had received?
I know this is, you know, I'm so fortunate. I have to be so blessed that I have been surrounded by so many badass women that like push me, like, and it's uncomfortable to be pushed. It really is, but they push me. And the more that I put that vibe out there, the more that those types of women come into my life. And I'm like, yes, ooh, this is uncomfortable. Are we on the same vibe? And they push me to be better. And I always come out better at the end. But one of the things that I think I just had more confidence to say it at the beginning. And I wish I would have had more confidence to stick with it, is to just be like, you know what? You're not a weirdo because you're in therapy. Like you're actually doing something better for yourself. And I wish I was more open about being in, you know, because sometimes you'd have a glass of wine with a girlfriend or like a, you know, one of my mom friends, and they're like, I started seeing a therapist, you know, and they like whisper it and you're like, oh, cool. You know, like, and I wish I could just say it. Like, I wish I just screamed it so much louder and prouder when I was going to therapy regularly. And I am doing it now regularly, even though like right now I'm like, oh, so good. And I like talked to her the other day. I'm like, I am on top of the world. She's like, great. Let's work on that. I'm like, what do you mean work on that? Like, this is where we've been trying to get, you know, like, but that's what therapy is there for. It's for somebody to like, make sure you're doing the best things for yourself. And I wish that like more people would just dive in and stick with it, that it's not just going through like one little thing in your life, that it's, I'm hoping that by the time my kids are on their own insurance plans and their own work and doing whatever they are, that in this world, it's like, hi, you have dental insurance, you have this insurance, you have this, you know, and seeing like those things are just very normal for everybody. You know, very normal. So that's just one thing that I wish was more out in the open.
Agree 100%. Gina and I know Gina is all about therapy, and therapy is what saved my life in certain scenarios. You know, my first marriage was a very abusive scenario. And the reason that I think that I came through that so well is because I had extensive therapy to realize that it's not someone, it's that there's like two people in any abuse scenario. Like I allow, you know, it's just, it was such a great, great piece of my life, that therapy that followed that part. And, you know, having a therapist so that you're not unloading your complicated shit on your friends. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good. You have friends that you can talk to, but sometimes like the ugly cry shit that you just don't want to tell your friends is great for a therapist. And that's what they're trained for.
You know, it's interesting, the ugly cry thing, when I talked about crying on the kitchen floor the other day, that actually came from, I think, some pent up stuff that I had had therapy that morning. And what I realized during the process is things that I thought I had fully dealt with kind of came back to the surface because of what we're going through with COVID.
Sure.
Like different things kind of came back up, and I had that session with my therapist. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I thought we already dealt with this. It's back. And then there's, I also executive produce a podcast for a woman who works with kids and therapy. And we were talking about this on another episode. So I had like two counselors on, and I just got off a counseling call of my own. And they both were like, good for you. You're doing that during this time. Everybody should be doing that right now and not put that off, because if you can stay on top of your emotions and understand what's happening to you, to your point, Meredith, it's like, it's okay to feel bad, but you need to be able to like work through it and do something with it.
Yeah. And I mean, when we go through crisis, like right now, all of us are going through a crisis right now. Like it's a world thing. But normally in our life, when we go to crisis, like we normally advert back to what we did before the crisis. And that's where we see trouble. So the fact that you're having feelings come up, like that's like, there's a lot of stuff that came up for me yesterday too, that I was like, you know, and we just automatically revert back to what we've known. And so it's important right now to, if you have never done therapy, it's important right now. I know I use Talkspace. I'm very happy and proud about that. This is the second call that I've done this week where I've talked about with Talkspace. And right now, like you can get like a $200 off for the, whatever the price is, which you can get a free week. I mean, there's so many companies are offering like free services. Yeah. So dive in, and there's ways you can use your insurance too. If you have insurance, and if you don't have insurance, there's ways that you can get help for free. There is. And you're not a weirdo. You're a normal human being. It's just like going to the dentist. Like normal people take care of their teeth. Normal people take care of their brain. You know, we're going to fix the hair coloring thing like that right now. We can't really do much about, but we can do something. We can brush and floss our teeth. That's for sure. And we can help our brains. So
love it.
Well, on that note.
Yes, really. Thank you so, so much for being with us today. And tell all our listeners how they can find you and get a hold of you, and especially businesses that are looking for that tip sheet that you mentioned.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you can find me on Meredith Campbell, Campbell Like the Soup Fitness on Instagram and Facebook, like all across the board. But then you can text me. You can text me at I know what and get my five tips. So you'll text 22828. So it's 22828. And you're going to text my, like MY, five, the number five, my five. And then in that text, I'll email you my PDF. And after, like, even I know, like, what I knew when we wrote this PDF 2 weeks ago, there's some things that have changed. So we'll update that PDF Because I want to give you the best and the best of the things that I'm learning right now. So if you get like a PDF now, and then like a couple weeks from now, you get another one. And maybe in a couple weeks, you're going to get an even better one. Because that's how fast the online industry is changing right now. And when we're out of this stay at home phase, oh man, we are going to be changed as an online industry. We are going to be changed. And so, it is my personal mission to make sure that the people that I've worked with, the people that are looking to me, the people that are looking to go online or be online or do whatever, that I give them my best knowledge at the moment, not what I learned 4 years ago and not what I learned even 4 months ago, because that's changed. So that's one. And then I have, for those of you getting started in, or just want a community to connect to, I have an online fit club called My Online Fit Club. And with that, it's a great community. Like, it's blowing up right now because we're all online. We do use a lot of the Beachbody products and workouts on there, but I go live in there. We're doing a huge nutrition reset, which this is so not me, but I haven't had a drop of alcohol since this pandemic started.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Wow. And I did it because I hurt my knee at the beginning of, or the end of February. I did something in my knee and I was on crutches and I'm like, shoot, I can't really work out. And my girlfriend's like, you know what you should do? And I'm like, no, don't say it. And it was like, you know, like, what am I missing out of in the month of March? Nothing. And when this whole pandemic came, I literally already was 2 weeks into this whole nutrition thing where I didn't have caffeine or alcohol. And my natural instinct was to go grab a bottle of wine and chug that thing as fast as possible to relieve some of the stress. And I didn't. And I just felt clear-headed and I could see the light. And I don't know if I can say that every time a hurricane comes to us, I feel like that panic, like I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to be on CNN. My kids are going to die. All of those things. Well, when this pandemic came, I was like, we're going to be fine, guys. Everyone just come on in. Get my boys. This is homeschool. Hello. Welcome. We do 3.5 hours of recess. We're going to be okay. I've not been drinking. I will continue to use alcohol in my life later on, but during this pandemic, I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay sober for my own sanity. And I actually read a horoscope yesterday, which said, like, cause I'm an Aries. So it's like, we need you now more than ever, Aries, and stay off the booze because, you know, and I'm like, all right, you know, like, because I want to use alcohol to be fun, not as a stress reliever. And, you know, so right now, like that's what I'm doing. And so anywho, that was my own personal thing. And so in My Online Fit Club, we're doing this whole nutrition reset. I'm like, we can do it, guys. We can do it. We're going to have cocktails soon.
And if you do text 22828 and you text my 52, it is fast. I'm already on.
Me too.
I'm already on your list.
Me too. Well, and
it's fast. Some of us, your automation some of is us fast.
Put down the Oreo cookie reset. So I might jump in your fit club too, because really and you and I both, Meredith, have been in fitness for a long, long time, but we need it just as much as everybody else. It's an accountability thing. Like I need people to keep me accountable, even though I love to work out, because I'll be lazy and eat Oreos just as fast as just about everybody else.
Yeah. Listen, I had a scoop of peanut butter and Nutella yesterday and I haven't had sugar in a while. And I'm like, it's okay.
It is okay.
It's okay. But like, I would have literally, like, if I didn't start doing this, I don't think I would be like this today. Like I refreshed and eager for the future. I think I'd be like 20 pounds heavier and probably a little hungover today, just to be honest, you know, but.
You would not be alone. You would not be alone.
I know. But like, it was like an accident that I did all this. Because normally when I'm like, I've eaten too much or I'm a little hungover, I'm like, sweat it out, girlfriend. You know, you want to be a woman at night, you better be a woman in the morning. Get that shit out of your system. But this time I was like, I can't sweat it out. Like, how many push-ups can I do? Because I can literally only do like upper body right now, you know, like, I can't run. I can walk. I'm walking better, but I can't go like jump and sweat right now. And I can't even get in a hot yoga room. So my options are limited.
Well,
and
there are no accidents though, Meredith. I think there's just timing. And I think that's great. It's definitely something that people are reaching for right now to cope. And, you know, when you wake up from the hangover, then the problems are still there. So good for you.
Yep. Along with a headache.
Yeah. So appreciate having you here and all of the great insights that you brought to us today, Meredith. And we're already on the email list, so hopefully all our listeners will jump in as well. Gina?
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you again, Meredith, for being here. So fun. You're so adorable. Looking forward to connecting with you more. So thank you. And thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. Lots of great stuff in here for you. And special thanks to Dermavogue, who keeps us looking prettier than we already are. For more information about Dermavogue, go check them out at dermavogue.com. They are an essential business. And to connect with me directly or to learn more about Pivot 10 results, you can find me on womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or ginatremarco.com. And for Rachel,
you can find me, Rachel Pitts, all over social media as The Singing Lender and at thesinginglender.com. And again, you can find all of our social media contacts and Keith Walters, who Keith is not with us today, unfortunately. He would have loved to see your cute little face.
Oh, he would have been all over Meredith.
Keith, you can find him at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, as well as some cool free downloads from us as well.
And hey, one more thing before we go. If you love our show, share the love and share the show with a friend or a colleague, especially right now. And we know that podcast listenership is a little bit down because people aren't doing their normal stuff, but maybe you need a break from television and other things. Listen in the bathroom. I don't know, but share the show with others. And hey, keep on keeping it sexy. Remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.